The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. I actually have lost track of what number it is, so with me tonight is the man who has better concentration skills than Mr. Mays, because he can watch his team play and do an audio all at one time. Mr. Dusty Giebink, how you doing, Dusty?
Yeah, they better fucking win. This is literally must-win for them, because if they don't win, they're eliminated, and no one wants to see Detroit, you know? Only people from Detroit want to see Detroit win this. They are totally the heel in this program. So.
Oh, okay. There we go. I was. I did not see what happened in the end of the in the NL game there either. So good to see that.
I feel the same way about the Reds in the National League. Fuck the Reds, man. I hate Dusty Baker. I don't need to see any more of him than what I have to. So go Giants and go A's.
Yeah, no, the A's unfortunately have one of those guys that I just want to say fuck you to, and I just saw him batting not all that long ago, Brandon Moss.
Okay, why is... Oh, that's why. Okay. Yep, never
yeah,
mind.
No, it would have been nice. Hey, Jason Bay trade way back a while ago at this point.
Yeah.
To Boston. He's supposed to be definitely not as good. Like, I don't think anybody sold him in that manner. But they're like, yeah, you know, he'll be a good pickup. He'll fill all the gap that Bay left, but it'll be most of it. Okay, cool. I love guys that bat like 100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things, and then because there are so many of them in the playoffs actually this year, because the Giants pitcher tonight, Ryan Vogelsong, is a former Pirate who is just like the dude has like an ERA of like 7.5 when he's with the Pirates, and now he's like fringe Cy Young candidate.
Right? How the hell does that happen? You know, that's just ridiculous.
And then, worst of all, really, is the Pirates still kind of shifted around with their outfielders this year. Nate McLaughlin, they had him at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Really, the spot was ripe for the picking. Like, they said that he was going to get platooned, but really, he had a spot there for himself. And I don't even think they call up Starling Marte if he ends up doing what he did what he's doing with Baltimore right now, which is hitting .275.
Sure,
guy has a couple of home runs, some stolen bases,
just kind of holding up his end of the bargain. It doesn't have to be a superstar, but
oh, and this is my new favorite one. These announcers for TBS. I love them calling people professional hitters. And
that so doesn't mean anything. God, I love that. Announcers drive me insane.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of who it was that they were talking about, but it was someone who hits like well over 300 consistently.
Right. Professionally.
I'm like, he's like more than a professional hitter. Like, that just... Yeah,
the word
I mean,
you're
right
for is good.
Yeah, I think he could have moved into the excellent territory. I'm like, oh my God. And yeah. then I've just heard it a couple of times since then. I'm like, why is this the new catchphrase?
Right.
Like I don't get it.
Yeah, it's stupid. speaking of guys who used to be on your favorite team, I love Nick Swisher, but I can't cheer for the Yankees, you know?
Oh, yeah, he was more of the Ohio State variety.
Yeah.
But,
he was the poster boy for Moneyball. He was the whole impetus behind Moneyball, and I love the guy. He's cool, and he's, you know, a little out there, and he's a good player, but he's a Yankee. And I don't know, you know, like, does not compute. I don't know how to reconcile the two things in my head, you know?
Yeah, no, that one is a little tough.
Yeah.
So, I can certainly understand the dilemma.
Yeah, a little frustration there, but, I mean, we're beating him 1-0 here in the fifth, and Jeremy's probably crying in his popcorn somewhere, can't do the audio, so it's you and me.
Yeah, no, I love the fact that he was concerned, even though they were up 2 games.
He should be concerned. He has every reason to be concerned, because it's all going up in smoke starting tonight. So he might be another one who we never hear from again. We'll never hear from Eric again because he's married, and we'll never hear from Jeremy again because his favorite baseball team is about to get humiliated. So that's it.
Well, we had a lot of humiliated people this week in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I would have to say it's the top of our news you can use here. I'd have to go with the two writers who were on top of the world for quite some time. Brian Gewirtz, who at this point, I didn't even look at the number. How long he has been working for the WWE for quite a while at this juncture.
Long time,
like,
yeah.
Would I be wrong saying like something involving a decade at least?
At least a decade, absolutely. I'm probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah, so I did not I did not look that up. And then Jim Cornette there for Ring of Honor is there. I guess we can. There, it's a good common topic, but I think both of them are in some different situations
sure.
in their respective leagues. Let's start with the WWE. Does this really do a whole lot if Vince is still approving of what is going out for the product?
Bingo, you just sunk my battleship right there. It doesn't matter at all who's in that position because you're kowtowing to Vince's sensibilities. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't. Things will be a little bit different because it'll be somebody else's interpretation of what Vince wants, but ultimately it's just going to be what Vince wants, no matter what. So he's the problem, you know? But how the hell do you get him out of his spot? It's almost literally impossible to get Vince's thumb out of the way. So, and until you do, I don't see anything getting really exponentially better.
I mean, it was really the pretty obvious question coming out of that one.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I mean, even though, like, CM Punk, well, actually, Vince kind of said it in his State of the WWE address before he got interrupted by Punk.
Yeah.
But then Punk even emphasized even more of the ills. And I had no amount of faith that said, Vince is actually hearing this.
Right.
You know, it's just like, yep, he just, it's just in one ear, out the other.
Yeah.
And it really does not matter.
No, no, that's my take exactly. And from the looks of Raw last night, things, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Oh, but wasn't it so very different to only have like a 5-minute promo, then a match, then a 15-minute promo?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, totally different.
Oh, man, that did throw me off for all of 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then, I don't know. I mean, is there really anything to add to that situation? I mean, I there isn't a whole lot of room around that. Like, you're right. It didn't seem, yesterday's show did not seem any different. Any other Raw.
It's weird. I thought it was going to be more chaotic than it was. I thought the show was going to be a total disaster because of the uproar behind the scenes. So at least they managed to keep it status quo, which is a lot better than it could have been. But to answer your point, no. I mean, nothing really changed at all. So I don't know, you know. Maybe because they haven't had a permanent replacement put in yet. So maybe we need to give it time. That would probably be their argument. But I think even with time, we're not going to see too much of a difference.
No, it's... I mean, someone would have to work really, really hard and have to be really, really consistent. I think, be able to get over that. And, I mean, I know that, and I guess that's why I like to go back to Punk, because I always remember him saying, I'm not in this for the short term. I'm in this for, you know, the long haul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I have to wonder whether he thinks it's actually being effective. Like I said, I thought that he voiced some of his, you know, own points. Really in that promo, but I don't know if he actually believes that there's a chance that the change is actually coming.
No, I don't think so. What would you do to change things? WWE hires Kevin DeFranco. What kind of changes would you put in there? I'd just be curious to hear some of them.
Well, they certainly have, especially now that they have 6 hours of programming.
I know, dude.
I mean, I don't understand how they don't still use more of their roster. Like, to me, it's just, I mean, I know that those guys get some time or whatever, technically, like, on whatever internet shows that they have now.
Right. But who watches those, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I felt bad for the people last week that actually went and watched Main Event on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just didn't even try. I don't think my cable company carries it. But
okay.
I did not even try.
Sure. They can't be getting good ratings. I haven't seen the ratings, but I feel pretty confident saying that they can't be that good.
And
you can't really rely on putting material there. You have to build your characters on the shows that people watch and then replay that footage on the shows that nobody watches, basically.
Oh. Well, yeah, that would be kind of nice too if they limited how much garbage they replayed. That would certainly. I know that's another one that a lot of shows do that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it annoys me on any other regular. They do it on Hawaii 5-0, which I always mention after the end of the Almost Live and definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw there.
I like the show,
it annoys me on that. It annoys me on really good programs that I like to watch, too. It's just I don't need it. Like, it's just wasting time. Give me a little more content, and I will be perfectly satisfied.
And there you go.
And
they have 3 hours on Raw to build characters, and they just don't do it.
Yeah, no, and I think that's why... we kind of talked about that the last time we were on. About my girlfriend going off really about the same stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's how obvious it is. She's been watching for like five months, and she just knows that needs to be done. Like, I mean, it's just, I can't believe how much of a no-brainer it is, and
it is
evidently a big brainer.
Right.
I mean, I can't think of any other way to describe it.
We got to hope the new guy cares about that. Maybe that could be the one tangible change we get. The new guy realizes it's important to, hey, these guys are on TV. We don't really know anything about them, you know? Tell us what their motivations are. Tell us, you know, who they are. Tell us what they're doing. It's such a simple thing that Russo always did pretty well, and these new guys don't. So.
Yeah, and there was only one guy, now that you mention that I felt like they at least started to move in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether it's positive or not, but what's his name? The guy from Ring of Honor, Antonio Cesaro.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, he's just not saying the same word 5 times in different languages.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only thing that I could say was at least a step in some direction to give the guy a little more character. Like, just saying words... I don't know how anybody can think that's enough.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. And they have no excuse, because they've got plenty of time now to do that kind of stuff. And how are you going to expect people to care about the people when they don't know anything about them? They just march them out there and shop them, you know? And I don't know. It's a basic fundamental flaw in wrestling, and no one seems to get it. So, again, I hope that this new guy understands this. And but I don't have a lot of hope.
Yeah, you are right. That is something that could probably at least get some more airtime. Because, and this is in the same area, too, is that they do have all these other guys on the roster, trying to say that it's the tag team glory days or anything crazy like that, but, they've done something for the tag teams. The tag team tournament, and really even maybe the month before that, has at least, kind of given it something of a feel.
Something, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were it was Tyson Kidd and somebody else jobbed that was in tag team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And why should we give two lickety-splickety shits about them? Why are they teaming? Who are they? What is their motivation? Why are they teaming together? Are they friends? Are they just teaming together to get the belt? you know, using each other to get ahead in their careers, then tell us about these people. Give us something.
Yeah, so, and I mean, I think that's another one that can, I mean, someone could maybe sneak that in there.
I'm begging.
Oh.
I really am. I'm sick of it.
And that's what it was. I don't even know how I did it. It was the opening segment was the first one that I'm just like, they have Ryback beat Epico and Primo.
Yes. At the same time, they're trying to build up the tag division.
Yeah, and I mean, just like, just after that, like, oh, look at the tag team division. These guys are former champs. Like, they were trying to say the right thing, but it's just like you're doing the exact opposite in front of everyone's eyes.
Yep.
And that's it. I mean, I'm going there right now. I mean, I'm sure that they could have had. I mean, I know that they've had. They can't really. Well, they don't want to have Tensai job again, but.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me fucking started on that.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to, because I am realizing that we're doing a solid job of off-roading already here.
I'm going to have a heart attack if you bring that up. Don't bring that up.
Yeah, no. I was just going to try to spin through who else they might have. But
I'm feeling.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Kurt Hawkins is still around.
Mm-hmm. God bless him.
Oh, and that bizarre, and that's another one, that bizarre team, because I'm just looking at Drew McIntyre here.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, they've been featured, well, maybe not featured, but shown the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ezekiel Jackson, I don't know, is he actually injured right now, or are they just not using him?
I have no idea. That's a very good question. I lost complete track of him.
Because that would be a if he's not injured, and I honestly am not sure one way or the other.
Well, he's not good at wrestling.
There is that. I am not going to disagree with that. But he's the type of guy that... you know, they could have used for Ryback to beat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's just like, big dude, scary-looking dude. I don't care if he can't wrestle. Ryback can clothesline him and march him around the ring.
Yep.
On his shoulders.
Mm-hmm. They've got enough guys on their roster... that he can build up a pretty impressive win streak, you know? Not just jobbers. They can use these, like, C and D level guys and really put them over everyone. And Ezekiel's one of them, you know? And guys like Yoshitatsu and who you just mentioned, Kurt Hawkins. I almost forgot his fucking name. That's how memorable he is. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I'm just... Oh, my Lord. That new JTG, just... I want to hurt myself. Oh, and what the fuck happened to Mason Ryan? These pictures are just kind of weird and creepy that they have on there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Totally agree.
Man, yeah, if you have Sakamoto hanging around, just have him lose.
Yep. Yep.
No reason for that. Okay, yeah, no, those two guys are the big guys. They were probably about it, honestly.
Sure.
But, anywho, I mean, I guess we could go on with that one for a while, but...
Well, yeah. Let's move on to Cornette. You knew it wasn't going to last because Cornette is he's not long for anywhere, you know? So you always knew it wasn't gonna last that long. But and I was talking to Jeremy about this the other day. He just had nothing to work with. This is the worst ROH roster I think ever, you know?
That certainly did not help things out in any way.
Mm-hmm. I know I always come off like a Cornette apologist, but, I mean, he really had nothing there. It wasn't fair.
He could have, I think he still could have done a little bit more, because just some of the things, just in a logic sense, I'm just like, I don't get this. Like, even watched the episode from this past week, and I mean, I don't know if that was his doing or not. Who was it? Kevin Steen's like, oh, I want to take down ROH. And I'm like, you haven't done anything on TV or even on the pay-per-views to indicate that you're trying to make this product go away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I mean, you know, to me it's one thing to not have much to work with, but when you just kind of let the guy and not do anything, like, he should be ruining matches all the time.
Well, like the NWO did. They interfered in matches. They tore down the signs and everything. They were really disrespectful, you know?
Yeah.
Do little things like that.
So it's things like that that I think that still could have been corrected. But then again, when you're still looking at Kevin Steen as your world champion,
preaching to the choir on that one.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I mean that was just another thing. It was him and Michael Elgin, and that's it's just like, wow, this is. I kind of like Elgin, but he needs to do something about the balding rat tail.
That's the best
just,
look.
Yeah, just the most unnecessary hairdo ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to get over that first, you know, in order for it to have some type of impact, I suppose.
But you raise a really good point. Like, they could do something really fun with Kevin Steen and have him make all these matches just chaos, you know, have it be completely out of control. That would be fun, you know? If there's a shitty match, he can just interfere in it and cause a no decision, and people will forget the match is shitty. So you can, for a double purpose there of hiding a weak talent roster, in addition to getting over what you want to get over with Steen. So, you know, there are a lot of squandered opportunities with that.
Most definitely. You know, especially, I mean, he kind of came back, I'm trying to think if it was that way, but I mean, I think he came back and he was at least causing some disruption, and then it just kind of, he won the world title, and it's just like, nah, I can't be bothered with that now.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then... Doesn't that make you the corporate guy that you've been making fun of? I'm confused. Oh, man.
Smells that way to Dusty.
So, and who was it all? And I think one point that you made, it did seem like a lot of people, after they got rid of Gabe, Sapolsky, I believe. It seems like they've rotated through the people who've been in creative on a pretty high frequency.
Yeah. No.
And I don't know if
at all.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Hmm? Oh, no, I started talking over you, so my bad.
I was just saying, no consistency up top for them. No clear vision of what they were doing.
Yeah. And that's just one of those things that almost is like, sometimes it's like a head coach. Sometimes you just need to have a little bit of consistency there.
Oh, dude, that was exactly my argument a couple of years ago when everybody wanted the Texans to fire Gary Kubiak.
Uh-huh.
And I said to people, like, at some point you just have to keep the guy for a few years, you know?
Oh.
And they did, and I've been proven right. So.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, sometimes you do just need to lower the boom, but, yeah, there's a certain something to having someone there for a little bit of time.
Sure.
And, yeah, Mr. Kubiak is doing a pretty okay job for himself.
Absolutely. So I would have liked to have seen Cornette get more time, but again, you knew it wasn't going to work out anyway. He's inevitably going to leave everywhere he works. That's just who he is. So, not surprised.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's interesting to me is it's kind of to me a bit of a tangent move because they're keeping the guy who was helping him do this work anyway, Delirious, and I can't remember what, I believe it's Matt something or another.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like looking it up.
No, me neither.
But what the shit? Oh, yeah, like, I don't know how much, it's kind of, oh, you had mentioned it with Vince, you know, having Vince's ear, that
yeah.
it would just be a little bit different vision of what, you know, Vince wants.
Yeah.
As this
yeah.
kind of seems like the same thing. I'm like, I don't know, is he really going to change that much?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know how much say Delirious had in the first place. He might have had more than 50% of the say to begin with. You know? So it's kind of ludicrous to expect major changes.
Yeah.
Because one of the two is gone.
Yep. I say Full House change or, you know, stick with it. And, They split the baby in half.
Yep.
Not really all that good of a move in my estimation.
No, but ROH is just spinning their wheels anyway. I don't expect good things from them.
Yeah.
You know?
Your boy had a good promo. I know it's not Cheerleader Chris. I'm trying to think of what his name is there. He had multiple identities. He was a band leader. That's what he is.
Oh, yeah.
I just watched it completely brain fart. Barrister Evans.
There you go.
In Ring of Honor. I know that he does some other stuff there.
Yeah.
So,
like the guy.
Yeah. He actually cut a really good promo this week, actually. That was probably the highlight of the show, honestly.
Okay.
I haven't
gotten around to that one yet. I always get to that, like, on the weekend, you know.
Yeah, no, there's no hurry for that.
Okay.
I just like to get it off my DVR.
No, totally understandable. Taking up space. Just like Kevin Steen.
Yep. Well, I think that topic has really taken up enough space there.
That was a lot of news that people could use, Kevin.
Yeah. we might not get to some other stuff that we had planned. We spent so much time on that, and you could be disappointed.
Perhaps I was doing that on purpose, Kevin. I don't know.
Well, there is no perhaps about this. CM Punk bitch slapped Vince McMahon on this past episode of Monday Night Raw, and the old man fell over. I got a fanboy alert from Jeremy before I had watched the segment, and he did not give anything away.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get a fanboy alert, and I noticed it was about at 8:40, so I'm like, oh, okay. It'll be about, you know, halfway through the first hour here or so when it starts.
Right.
And it's the Vince McMahon CM Punk confrontation. I've got to admit, I was, when I hear something like that, I was all ready to get fired up and think it was the greatest segment this side of, well, maybe the last CM Punk segment. But I didn't. What did you think about this? Which side of the teeter-totter are you on? Not as impressed or wholly impressed?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of 900-year-old Vince McMahon standing up to a top wrestler. Is there any doubt that Vince McMahon has a small sausage, you know? He just always seems to put himself in these positions where he's a tough guy, you know? And there's got to be some underlying insecurity going on there in his head, because at one point it was sort of plausible, you know, that he could take a kendo stick and stand up to a top guy. But at this point, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I'm trying to keep myself in check because my natural fanboy instinct is to get all up in arms about this, but I do think they handled it sort of well in that Vince didn't just lay him out completely, you know? Wishy-washy on this one.
Yeah, well, I still ended up liking the talking end of the segment, but
absolutely.
Yeah, when you mix it in with what happened at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I just don't know what to make of it, you know. There you go again. The talking part was excellent. I'm on board with that completely. So
okay, so then at least for the talking segment, he was talking. Well, Jeremy was mentioning just the talking segment. So
okay.
You know, I guess I don't know. I don't know what else I wanted really out of that segment. Maybe I just found it really odd that the slap knocked him over. I had really debated rewatching it too. I think. Sometimes having the extra pair of eyes in here lends to not hearing some talk if this talk is being made. Oh my lord, what a nice catch! You know, sometimes the extra talk just distracts you when the people on the TV are talking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Top of the seven pays up to nothing.
The end segment there though with the wrestling was so ridiculous.
Okay.
To me,
you're full blown on it with being ridiculous. Okay. That's my natural instinct, but I want to try to keep that in check because I don't know. I don't want to sound like angry fanboy on the internet, you know, but that was definitely my first instinct. This is just preposterous.
I can understand the idea of him wanting physically to stand up to him.
Yeah.
You know, But then, you know, his ego gets a check and he gets his ass handed to him. That would have been perfectly fine on my end.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not the route that they went.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to take a wait and see. Let's see what they do next week, you know, and combine it. And I don't know. I'm being overly complimentary to them on this, because I don't want to seem like angry, yelly guy, you know. But,
I just don't think that there's going to be that much more to it. Like, I know that he's going to be on next week,
but
I don't think that Vince is going to wrestle him the second time. I think that, you know, that's going to be that, and we're all good in the hood, you know, and that to me would be fine. I don't need to see a prolonged Vince McMahon versus CM Punk feud. Like, that's so completely unnecessary.
As you would say, it's not even a little bit. So.
Oh man. Well. Later in the evening, when Vince was talking to CM Punk the second time there, CM Punk decided to backfist someone behind him, work or shoddy security?
As far as I can tell, it was not a work at all, and Punk got the wrong fan is actually what happened. And now the fan has some kind of knee problem because you see the force of the slap just caused a shockwave, a butterfly effect throughout the whole body, causing the knee to go out. And so now that fan is playing the I'm going to sue card, which is just preposterous. But so as far as I can tell, it really happened. It's real, and it's fucking stupid. So,
yeah.
So very bad security is what we'll chalk that up to.
Yeah, that was really bad. And if that guy's lawsuit gets anywhere past you're an idiot, then I just need to stop at that point.
I just need to stop life. If he wins that lawsuit, that's enough for me. I don't need any more life. But,
oh, man.
More power to him for trying, I guess, you know. If you're going to go after anybody, go after somebody with a lot of money. So at least he got that part right.
Oh, well, that is a very, very good point.
I've been trying to think for years of a way to sue Donald Trump, you know? That motherfucker.
That would be that would be a good way to go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of people with money, there were some names that might have gotten tossed about the internet. That had dollar signs attached to them. And these were persons from the TNA roster.
Ching. People making dollar bills. Yo. All right.
Were there any salaries that that struck you by surprise?
I don't know. It seems like a whole lot of people are making a whole lot more than they deserve. I'll say that. They sure do place a lot of importance on being a former WWE wrestler, you know?
Yeah, I definitely noticed that. I'm like, I don't think anyone had under half a million except for Gail Kim.
Gail Kim is at 150. I'm looking at it right here. Otherwise,
yep.
I mean, you're looking Mr. Anderson, 625. Rob Van Dam, 680.
Uh, Yeah, that RVD one, that guy has, I don't even know if he's been with it enough to even say that it's mailing it in.
Yeah. No, he's sleeping it in or something. Whatever's worse than mailing it. Yeah.
Yeah, he like licked the stamp, put it on the envelope, and then just didn't even put it in the mailbox. It's just like sitting there right on the table still.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God. And you know what? It's TNA's fault.
Oh, yeah.
They're paying him so much. They're using him so inconsequentially. What reason does he have to try, you know?
Yeah,
I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but I always take the athlete's side on something like this. Give him a reason to work hard, you know?
Yeah, no, and those guys, just in general, I mentioned this a long time ago, because I remember talking about in reference to our favorite Hardy brother, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys just went there, and they don't really change their gimmick at all. It's just like whatever their last gimmick was in the WWE,
yes,
they're just stuck in it for the rest of the time that they're there. There is no character development or deviation for any of those guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And RVD isn't, is definitely one of those guilty parties.
Absolutely. No thought has gone into that character at all. It's been completely stasis.
Yeah, it's, at least the other guys have had some tweaks. Like, they're not great, but they have had some tweaks.
Right. Right.
But, stasis is perfect.
he's a dictionary
of that
definition. Mm-hmm.
whose was it that I thought that I was maybe a little surprised by? I don't know why I expected more out of James Storm for some reason or another. That might be the only one that to me was a little marginally surprising.
I'm wondering if that contract wasn't signed while he was still in the tag team situation. I'm wondering if that's the reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to remember when he got, when he re-signed, because I thought it was after he had started as a singles guy. But that doesn't even matter, though. I mean, they didn't really, his real push has been the last, year and a half, maybe, or something like that?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe he's coming up on a contract year here, so he's just pushing things extra hard.
Sure. he's really worked hard and improved himself, so he would be one that would deserve that kind of money, you know? Not RVD money, but more, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, no, he's certainly worked for his spot. Unfortunately, TNA has decided that they don't want to make the feud between him and Bobby Roode anything special at all. So
right. Oh, this old thing, nothing to see here.
Yeah, it's just Roode still should have had the belt. As much as I like Austin Aries, that just really just screwed the pooch on pretty much all of their all their booking. So, yeah, we end up with Roode, Storm, no belt on the line, which is exactly what should be on the line since Roode cost Storm the belt.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then if you have the backup of Austin Aries trying to get over on Jeff Hardy,
Yes.
I think you have a, you know, you flip-flop those two matches and you have a good co-main event and a good main event.
Pretty good mix at the top of the card. definitely. But, yeah, you got it right because they've got it exactly backward. Which is just so TNA. what else do you expect from them, you know? Tone-deaf booking. That's what you get.
Yep, I really do not expect a whole lot more out of them.
Mm-hmm.
See you. I don't know. I guess I don't really have anything else on them in there.
No, it's just interesting to see the numbers. It's a complete mystery how those numbers got out, but they're interesting to see, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, that kind of reminded me, in a way it reminded me of, what was it? Oh, I think the MLS now releases their contract information at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when it was a big deal that they were not releasing those, and somebody got a hold of the whole salary for everyone in MLS, and it's just like, it was just kind of interesting when you hear something's a secret. It's always fun to
exactly, and it's always interesting to compare the pay with how they're being used and stuff like that. Everybody likes, you know, little pieces of gossip like that. So,
yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something that was not gossip, but definitely a real thing.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista. Oh, yeah. We thought it was gossip for quite a long time that he was going to become a mixed martial arts fighter.
Au contraire, it actually happened.
Yep, he has proven us wrong, and proven us wrong with a win. Did you watch that 3.5 minutes of something?
Of total domination? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the total domination, I believe, happened in fantasy football this week.
I destroyed you by about 60? Is that what we're... Okay.
Yeah. That would definitely be total domination.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bautista, I would say, was a hair under that.
That was something, man. Do you think that was a work?
I don't think that was a work. I think that if Bautista gets in there with anyone who's half competent with their hands, he's going to get his ass handed to him.
Yeah, right.
That guy looked so afraid to be punched and did not cover up very well either when he was being punched.
How do you become an MMA fighter if you're scared? I don't understand. Like, you raise a really good point that I hadn't really thought of in watching it. But yeah, he's like terrified to get touched. How can you be an MMA fighter? It's like a porn star who doesn't want to have sex, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. It didn't make any sense to me. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, like, you're all muscle and the other guy is doughy goodness.
Right.
You should not be concerned.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, no, that guy's going to, I don't think he's going to get too far. He's going to get maybe about as far as Bobby Lashley did, which was all of nowhere, too.
Right. Do you see Bautista, what do you see Bautista here? I mean, is he going to go as far as he can in MMA, like Brock Lesnar, or is he just, like, biding his time to get back into wrestling? Is he, like, just desperate to get his name out there? What do you think's happening?
I don't know. He says he's committed to the MMA, but I don't think there's any chance that he gets even Brock Lesnar style.
Yeah.
Because Lesnar could make up for his lack of punching skills.
Yes.
By being just an outstanding wrestler. And,
A beast on that mat, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And generally being a genetic freak, like, I don't think of, even though they're kind of in the same size area, like, his lateral movement and stuff like that is so much better than anything Batista ever displayed in the ring.
Oh, I'd take Brock any day, putting those two compared to each other. Batista just seems so brittle, you know?
Yeah, there was always that problem, too. He had quite the streak going on there with injuries.
Yeah. So if he gets caught one time in a fight, I mean, that could be the end of his fighting career, you know?
Yeah, there is a very good possibility, but I don't think he probably thinks he's not biding his time, but if he really wants to get paid again,
yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm.
He better come back quote unquote home, and
right.
You know, get into the WWE.
Yeah. And that's one thing WWE has proven, you know, if they're motivated to do it like they did with Jericho, they can take a guy, comes back, and turn him into something. So. Or they can do like they did with Lesnar and not do anything with him. So.
Oh.
Really, we're about 50-50 on this.
Yeah, no, that's another one of those ones that, to me, I scratch my head that two guys from TNA, I guess, dipping back there real quick. Because
mm-hmm.
I think somebody said that Hardy's contract was up soon, or Angle's contract was up soon.
I thought Angle.
Okay.
I heard Angle. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I thought it was one of the two of them. It's just like, okay, as much as they worked with Shawn Michaels for a limited schedule, as much as they worked with The Undertaker with a limited schedule, and they're obviously working with Lesnar on a limited schedule, and even really The Rock, if you want to consider that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's extremely limited, but certainly right. He's going to be at, you know, two programs, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't sign someone like that for some type of a swan song and give him the time off that he's getting in TNA.
Yeah.
Like, they love this nostalgia act. They could really use somebody that could help put some guys over. You'd obviously have to have him win for a little bit when he comes back, but there's no reason that someone like my boy Dolph Ziggler couldn't beat him at some point.
Yeah,
and
that'd be,
you know,
great. That would do wonders for his career to have that on his belt, you know.
Yep. So, I mean, that's a head-scratcher to me. I mean, as much as I make fun of Angle, people would probably dig it if he came back to the WWE.
Well,
and,
listen, he's got to commit himself to staying in shape and staying off of the pills. So, and that's on him, you know. But if he's willing to do that and make a commitment to that, then WWE could absolutely get a lot out of him.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I always thought that he was one of those guys that they just seemed like they weren't willing to work with them on a more limited schedule, so that that might cut back on the drug possibilities.
Maybe that's changed because of what you just outlined. A lot of these older guys are now, and maybe they realize that's the right answer, you know? I'd rather have one match a year out of The Undertaker than none, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Well, there was one lonely...
No, there wasn't. That was five.
Sad topic left.
Nope.
No? Well, we'll at least say that, what did you have to say for me after watching what you don't want to talk about?
Well, it's just the first thing that came. Well, no, let me stop myself there. Not at all the first thing, but one thing that came to mind in watching the video was who goes to meet their son at midnight. What's going on there?
Yeah, no, that was the most, I don't care, well, that's strange, but as soon as you're in a room with a woman who's naked, ready to have sex with you,
yeah,
the fact that you're preoccupied with anything,
yes, thank you.
Most definitely your son at a late hour.
Correct.
Who may or may not have been at jail at that point.
Right. What's going on?
Get
down to business, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh my lord, dude. Like, you're that bored by the whole ordeal that you're just going to...
Right.
Talk about your son a lot.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he's just so used to banging hot chicks all the time that he's just bored by it. Maybe that's what's going on. He's just at that level of celebrity where he doesn't give a fuck anymore. And if that's the case, who can relate to that? Oh, geez.
Yeah, no, it does not seem like any of the rock stars seem to have a problem with that at any juncture of their
right.
of their careers. I mean...
Yeah, Vince Neil is shaking his head somewhere, you know? I mean, get a load of this guy.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind, because I was talking about it last week for some reason, was Rock of Love.
Okay.
Bret Michaels, the guy
who
invited chicks into his quote-unquote house.
Yeah.
And the guy always, like, he didn't bang all of them, but it's just like, yeah, I would too.
Right. Duh.
Yeah, as many as I can. Yep, sure. Not a problem. I can get that covered.
Sign me up for that deal, dude. Absolutely. So I don't know what Hulk's problem was, but, man, fuck that. You know?
Yeah.
Fuck
and,
that.
I think that that is an outstanding note to close on there.
Excellent.
Fuck that topic. I don't think anybody needs to dwell on that any more than they need to.
Watching that video one time was probably two times too many. So.
Yeah, no, that's one of those things that you cannot unsee.
Yep.
There are some other things I've decided to stay away from because I've been told I can't unsee them.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is not one of those things.
Yeah, indeed.
And to try to forget that thing, I am going to go grab a sippy time beer and get out of here.
All right, well, for Kevin DeFrango, for Sippy Time Beers, for Missy Bird, who's on the evil train, because she's a Tiger fan, and we just found that out during this audio, the A's are up 2-0 in the A's, so choke it down. And I'm Dusty Ebing, and this has been Stunt Granny Audio number I don't give a shit, and we'll try to do better next time.